Hey family, my name is Paul. Most people call me Big Bird. I have the promises. These are the ones that are located after the ninth step. If we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past nor shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations that used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Are these extravagant promises? We think not. They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them.
Let's welcome Eva to the podium.
My name's Eva, and I am an alcoholic. And sobriety date is August 20th, 2010. I'm supposed to tell you a little bit about what it was like before, what it was like during, and what it's like today. I'm a 70s baby. My father did his medical residency in the Army. So the first 4 years of my life, we traveled from different Army base to different Army base, and really didn't have a firm ground. We were always moving. And we finally moved into a house on Martina Drive over off Piedmont, right around when I was about 4 or 5. And at that point, it became apparent that I had some specific learning disabilities. And so I started going through some training for that. And even at that point, I felt different. I didn't feel a part of. Had to work really hard. I remember tracing numbers and letters in the sand because I always saw things backwards. I was dyslexic. And it was a hard period of time. And school was pretty much one of those deals where I was one of the ones that was always picked on or beat up or until eventually I learned how to protect myself. But at the same point, you know, some teachers treated me badly and some kids my own age treated me badly. And I just really never felt a part of. At home, I used to make wine and beer with my dad. We'd go down to the basement and he used to let me draw on the labels for his bottles of wine. And alcohol was available in the house. We were, my dad being Sicilian, we drank wine at the dinner table young and didn't really think of it as abnormal to be young and drinking. And but at that point, I wasn't a drinker like get drunk. I was just allowed to drink. And my dad being a doctor, my first experience with mind-altering pills was medicine. I had an asthma attack that left me with like 94% of being able to breathe. And I discovered that if I took more asthma medicine than needed, that it affected me like speed. And so I began to do that. And I had a complex about my weight. My mom was always verbally abusing me about my weight. So I guess that's how I ended up getting involved in speed and over-the-counter diet pills and things like that. And, of course, sneaking out and drinking. And whenever my mom and their folks, our folks would have parties, I remember I would sneak alcohol and always had a bunch of it in my window bench. And, you know, for a while I was able to get by, but, you know, things became pretty unmanageable with just that. I ended up flunking the ninth grade. I had gotten involved and been able to go to Northside School of Performing Arts and was singing for them. And essentially what ended up happening is the first two classes of the day I would go and sing, and then my hands would be shaking and I'd be too sped up to go to class, so I would just leave class. And they were too worried about the kids with the guns and the knives, and so I just sort of slipped through the cracks and wandered around to different parks in town, and that's when I started getting involved in street drugs. And, you know, it's like I remember the first time I smoked marijuana, it was with complete strangers. They were these folks that were running a grounds crew, and that's how I got introduced to marijuana in the back roads of this park. And a lot of my beginning experience with drug use happened like that, wandering around parks, wandering around, getting involved and spending time with people I didn't know. And so that's how it was at that point. And at school one day, as I was leaving, I don't really remember everything that happened that day or what drugs I was doing that day or what I was drinking that day. But the next morning I woke up in intensive care at Georgia Baptist Hospital. And I had to ask somebody what happened to me, and it turned out that I had been hit as a pedestrian crossing Ponce de Leon. And so a whole bunch of things went on at that school I was in, and I had to sign this contract that I wouldn't drink and wouldn't do drugs, and that I would allow to go back to school. And it took about 6 months for me to be able to walk again. I was went from a wheelchair to crutches to eventually being able to walk again. But as soon as I was walking again, I was climbing out that window doing what I used to do. And that was my story for a very long time. I would get beat up. Things would happen in my life. I would be put in some kind of treatment center and some kind of rehab, because at that point I was underage. And I would eventually get out, and I would do okay for a while, but eventually I would end up back out there. And I eventually began to be in and out of different institutions, and ended up getting involved with the law. This college guy I was hanging out with, we went out drinking one night, and he was like, "Yeah, I know where we can get whatever we want." So I was like, "Okay, fine." And, you know, this whole, like, drug blinders that get put on us when all of a sudden all we want is what we want. And when I began to realize that I was no place that I needed to be, it turned out that where I had ended up was Techwood Homes. And 30 Red Dog came running up. And because I had never experienced freeze, get on the ground at that point yet, I froze, but I didn't get on the ground. And those Red Dogs took their nightsticks out and beat the daylights out of me and put me on the ground. Now, I can tell you one thing. I never went back to Techwood Homes. But I still continued to use. And eventually other incidences like that happened. I got involved. I had an apartment not far from here on Buford Highway, and I got involved with this Mexican gang dealing and selling and smoking crack cocaine. And I'd been up 7 days in a row and was just completely out of control and ended up passing out and getting that famous and ended up in the night at Shamley Jail. And at first they were like, "So what do you plead?" And I'm like, "Not guilty." And of course, after 3 days of Waffle House food, because they feed you Waffle House food in the Shamley Jail, and some time asleep, I began to think about where I was and how I'd ended up there. And so the judge came around the next day, and I was like, "So what do I have to do to get out of here?" And I was like, "Well, you can ask somebody for $500, but you still have to go to court. Or if you don't plead guilty to your charges, we'll just ship you to DeKalb, and you'll sit and await whatever happens there. Or if you plead guilty, I'll put you on probation and allow you out of here." So that's what I did. But then, of course, you know, he was like, "Oh, and by the way, they just passed this new Georgia law that if they find marijuana on your person, you lose your license. You can't drive." And but at that point, I was like, "Fine, I guess I don't need a license." And in a way, it was the best thing that happened to me, because I got uninvolved with those people that I was driving around. And but the problem was, is I developed this habit that I couldn't afford. And I began to walk up and down the streets on Buford Highway, hopping in different cars, selling my soul for whatever I could get, and lived like that. Was hanging out at Naughty's Bar and Grill. I would sit there and drink until I found somebody. And then eventually, you know, I would end up with what I needed, and it went on like that for nights and nights and nights. Eventually, I ended up at a place called DAC, and DAC saved my life at that point. I was able to go to Fox Recovery, and I did pretty well for a while, but then, you know, that whole story is, as soon as I started feeling better, I forgot about how I always ended up where I ended up. And, you know, it went like that for a really long time. And eventually, I had gotten drunk and decided that I was going to go get some crack, and went to this place, and I ended up with a gun put to my head and "Give me all your money," and then proceeded to be the daylights beat out of me and left unconscious on this project stairwell and wandering around Ponce confused. And eventually somebody called the police. I wasn't going to call the police or do anything like that. I was just trying to get out of there. This convenience store clerk was trying to lock me up for stealing ice, because I was trying to put ice on my head. And so I ended up at Georgia Baptist again, only now it's called Atlanta Medical. And about 4 days later, I contracted the swine flu and double pneumonia at the same time, and ended up in a coma for 28 days. And I, at one point around 3 or so in the morning, figured out that I was either going to wait for MARTA to take the first bus to Piedmont Hospital or I was going to call a cab. So I called this cab and had them drop me off at the emergency room, having no idea that I would be gone asleep for 28 days. I woke up with a trach in my chest. I couldn't talk. And again, I was never going to drink and I was never going to do drugs again. But as soon as I got healthy again, that ended up happening. Though eventually, about a year later, when it started to get cold again, and I started to think about some of the things that had happened the last time it got cold, I decided that I didn't want to live that way anymore. And I began to come to NABBA regularly, one day at a time. And I got my sponsor, and right now I'm on step 6, and life's a lot better. And, you know, when I get cravings, which I occasionally do, I work on playing the tape all the way through instead of looking at what's at the top of that glass, what's down at the bottom of that glass, and all the things that come with that glass. And today I don't want any part of what's in that glass. And I'm grateful to have almost a bit over 18 months clean today. And thanks for letting me share.